In a world crying out for a top 10 show. John Rocha and Matt Nost are here to bring you the top 10. Take it away, boys. Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of the Top 10 Show. I am John Rocha.
I am Matt Nost.
And I am excited to do this list. Matt, I'm we're recording this just before heading off to Australia. Have a little fun there on a set visit for Invisible Man. No, not the 98 Degrees song, for those of you who are massive fans of boy bands. This is the remake of the 1940s
Sounds
film.
Like a deep cut. Well, was that a single?
It was a single.
Okay, well, that's fine.
A CD single, yeah.
It's not fine. You can listen to whatever you want to. But it just, if you went that deep with them, where you knew, it was the seventh track on their first album.
Oh, no, that would be too far. That would be too far.
But it's just like, they released it. Then I probably heard it.
I think it was their only, legitimate hit. But maybe I'm wrong. Nick Lachey and 98 Degrees, I think it was their only show.
I don't remember their song. I remember him and his little brother.
Yeah.
And then the other dude, blonde-haired guy.
Yeah.
Didn't look like it should be in a boy band type of guy. He looks like us. You know what I mean?
It's like Donnie Wahlberg. You look at Donnie Wahlberg, you go, you were in a boy band? It seems like you don't fit in this boy band type of look.
Okay. I was thinking more like in Color Me Bad. Kenny G looking guy.
Yeah, that Kenny G guy should not have been in.
All of a sudden, you're like, what are you doing here?
They all looked like an amalgamation of people. Like, right? You had the black dude who looked like an R&B guy.
Exactly.
Kenny G guy.
Too generic.
Yeah.
Like.
The George Michael looking dude.
Wannabe looking, though.
Yeah, yeah.
They're George Michael's stunt double. And then his stunt double stunt double. That's right. They had two dudes that had almost the same vibe.
Have you seen him now? The main dude?
I know he got corpulent.
Let's say he expanded. Let's just say that. He's a rather large fella. And he got into, apparently during, you can find this video on YouTube, during some show recently in the next year or two, he was mad that one of the Color Me Bad guys took his solo or took his spot or something while he was in the center of stage, comes back off stage and shoves the dude onto the ground in the middle of the performance. Bro, no offense, bro.
I mean,
you should just be happy people still paying to hear you sing, son. You want to get all pissed off about it?
Yeah, you say that, and then what if cut to 20 years?
If I'm doing...
And some guy comes out as knockoff outlaw, you tell me you don't get so pissed off that you go and push him down? John, I know you.
If I'm still doing the outlaw in 20 years...
You'll be doing the outlaw in 20 years.
No, hell no.
Much as I saw on Twitter, Bibiani's like, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm doing the schmo down until I die.
Did he really say that?
There's something equivalent to that, and I saw it, and I was like, that seems about right. Seems about right.
Bibiani would.
There's a few guys who I'm just like, I could see him being a lifer.
He's got that Grand Canyon-sized need to be loved by the schmo down people and the fans. It is not from a place of, wanting to play the game.
Find me a performer in this town that doesn't have a need of, hey, look. That's fine if you don't want to schmoe down.
I play for fun.
You want it for all. Yeah, but at the same time, you want the adulation if you can get it.
No, I don't want the adulation. It's nice to get it. I don't want it. Want it means I would go that extra mile, go into people's houses. If I started my own separate YouTube channel so that I could just have these conversations with fans, that's wanting the adulation.
And you had a podcast where the Outlaw spoke to the fans?
Oh, the Outlaw Nation? Yeah, but that was more like me speaking about political issues and social issues of the day and mental health stuff. It was more about helping the fans. It wasn't I wanted them to kiss my ass or tell me positive things.
I'm just saying, you did branch off and take...
You're
turn
right.
The brand into now this does this other self.
I'm not going to deny you what your point is. That's very true that I did do that. But I was trying to do it in a what do they call that? Humanitarian way. I was trying to, because so many people had come and become this kind of thing that I was like, okay, how can I do this in a positive way? try to do something positive with it and let people talk about it. And so that was always been my point. And now the Deep Cut does that because I get to talk about these social issues through documentaries.
Yeah, but with Fans Don't Know, in your old two-bedroom place before you moved,
yeah,
that second one, I walked in one time accidentally instead of going to the bathroom, just kind of absent, and you had mock-ups for like bobbleheads and... You 3D printed some action figures, and you were like testing out concepts to roll out outlaw merchandise. It's all the whole thing.
If only I thought that far ahead.
You had penance. You had, I mean, foam fingers.
I will say this. Brianne and I don't always see eye to eye on a lot of things, but Brianne Chandler was the one at the beginning who I regret not listening to her advice when I first started. She said, you need to market this shit because you are like the star. You're busting out of this thing. You need to be making your own t-shirts, make your own deals for your stuff, and then sell as much as possible because you don't know how long this is going to last. And I think I lost money by not doing that when I first started. Maybe people would have bought some things or whatever. I would have made a little bit of cash. But now it seems overkill to do something like that. As much as I would love a Funko Outlaw or a Outlaw bobblehead, dude, I feel like that's a little too
Hulk
far.
Hands, but they're outlaw hands. Maybe they got like little pistols in them or something. But they're just they're spray painted to the same shade hue of skin that you have. Just smack him on the ground. Outlaw! I don't know what... Do you have a catchphrase yet?
Well, of course, you know it. All the belts, all the records.
There you go. Perfect. Do a 1-2. Right, left, right, left. You've always been good at combos. That's what we know about you. We can still make this a reality. Listen, look at all the good ideas I've come up with
so
far.
You have. Let's put them under the top 10
wins. Just give me a little piece. That's all I'm asking for.
Of course, please.
I can keep generating ideas.
You generate ideas that sell. I give you 20%. No problem, man. I'm down with it. Put it under the top 10 banner.
I'll have my agent in touch with
you. Oh, yeah, please do.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, please do. Anyways, Brianne said that to me at the beginning. I should have listened to her, so I got to give her credit for that. And now, in retrospect, because I thought, oh, no, that always seems to me arrogant, like that you put stuff out about yourself so that people can buy things about you. I always feel like there's a line. I don't have that kind of shamelessness.
We all have our random lines.
Yeah.
We do when it comes to this type of thing. Think about the stuff you say to me when you're like, I know that you don't want to do that type of thing because I have a random line in certain aspects.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah.
Like you do.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Every once again, I don't know, it feels icky to me.
Yeah.
I don't mind doing all the rest, but this just weirds me out of, I feel like it's exploitive or something. Mm-hmm.
Well, you fought the Patreon thing for a long time. You did not want to put it out there to have the fans.
I wouldn't say I fought you. Fought is a strong word, but I have fought you on other aspects.
Sorry, you resisted it. You weren't a big fan because you're like, we're just two assholes talking about movies. Why should fans? And it was like, well, no, here's what we can do with it. Eventually, and then when you know when you were ready to do it, then you were like, yes, okay, I see the point, I'm on board. So it wasn't a matter like you were resistant in a mean way or an asshole way. It's more like you need to see the logic of it for you to do it.
True, and also enough people kept reaching out and being like, I would happily, do it. Please do it.
Yeah,
it would bring me joy. And at that point, you're like, wow, really? Okay, well, if it means you want more content, then I'll work for it. I'm not just going to take it idly.
Of course not. Yeah, we're a blue collar podcast, man.
I know. Bootstraps, baby.
That's right.
Bootstraps.
Put them up our own bootstraps.
Maybe you get then two shoes and you go bootstraps. Oh, you stop God. Right foot, left foot. All the belts, all the records, all the belts, bootstraps. Maybe it's a sing-songy, so it's all part of a full outfit.
That's when I go MC Hammer. I make it all sing, and then I lose all my cred, all my street cred.
Think of all the money he made, though. Think of all the money. Now, Outlaw, and you're doing that little shimmy dance that he did. I forget what that was called. Yeah. And parachute pants.
Yeah. Can't touch this. Ooh, that'd be terrible. Some kind of soft rock outlaw song. Woof. Then we do the boy band with 98 Degrees. Anyways, this week we thought we'd count down a list from a character actor who kind of was a lead when he kind of found his way to leads for a little while in film, but then receded back to where he's really good as an actor, and that's the character acting stuff. And that is the great Stanley Tucci. Because he's in a film that's coming out this week.
Yeah, this was, put together really in the past 24 hours because John found out that he's got to leave the country.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm going to be gone. So we didn't have a topic for this week. And we both kind of went, you know what? Why not do something a little bit different? Do a, an actor that doesn't get discussed ever. Yeah. And we've had that discussion before of like, God, I'd love to do like Margot Martindale and just boom, let's just go through all my favorites of hers.
Yes.
Or go through, just find an actor that I've always enjoyed, even if the movie's just okay. Just like they're always solid.
Yep.
They're always quality. And just kind of, I don't know, cherry pick around.
Yeah.
And Tucci was like, hey, what do you want? You texted and they're like, what about Tucci? And yeah. They're like, you know what? Let's do a little Stanley Tucci.
It's for the film Night Hunter, which is coming out with Alexandra Daddario, Henry Cavill, Minka Kelly, and Stanley Tucci. There you go. It's coming out. You know.
What's it about?
It's about a weathered lieutenant. His police force and a local vigilante are all caught up in a dangerous scheme involving a recently arrested troubled man who's linked to years of female abductions and murders.
Interesting.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Although the fact that it's opening, what, against it?
It's opening against It Chapter 2.
Yeah. In the beginning of September.
Yeah.
This more than likely didn't come out the way everybody had hoped it would come out.
Probably not.
That's my guess. That sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Prove me wrong, guys. I hope I'm wrong. I love seeing a good movie, so I hope it's good. And then I got another excuse to go, Henry Cavill got screwed by DC.
He really did. But yeah.
Every time I see him in something, I'm just like, you were a good Superman.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed you.
He really
was. It sucks.
Yeah. So we thought we'd count down the top 10 Stanley Tucci films. And some of you might be like, oh, yeah, that sounds fun. Because Stanley Tucci has been in like hundreds of things.
According to IMDb, I believe it's 131.
Wow. TV and film.
I'm sure.
Yes.
I just saw the raw number, whatever it is, for credits and just parenthetical. And I think it's at 131.
Yeah.
This dude has worked.
Yeah, he has. People like him. Ever since he popped on the scene, I remember him in fucking Wise Guy. I remember that's how far I go back with
all
him.
The TV show with
Ken Wall.
I was about to say Chris Noth before there was a Chris Noth.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's a good call.
He's more of a like the tough guy. He's taking a few punches, Chris Noth.
Right, right. I remember that show.
Yeah, I remember that show in that I saw the posters and whatnot for it. I never watched it. I was too young.
Oh, okay.
Because that was what? Mid to late 80s?
I think it's late 80s, yeah.
I would have been 8, 9, 10.
Okay.
It's not really.
Well, get you younger than me. That's all right. You know, you don't have to stress it every single time.
It just comes up. Now, I don't have the wealth of knowledge on that subject, and it's not a TV show. People go, you know what you need to go back and watch?
Wise Guy. Fucking Wise Guy. That's the one you need to go back and watch.
It's never happened.
No, I know. I agree.
It's really one of the,
Hill Street Blues isn't one that happens either. No, and that's a great show.
I've never gone back
show.
To I vaguely remember when it was on.
Yeah. That was NYPD Blue before we had NYPD Blue, Hill Street Blues.
I didn't watch that either.
NYPD Blue?
No.
Wow. It's in my top two or three ever TV shows. Okay. First two seasons. First season, up until Smits dies, it's fucking excellent. Fucking excellent.
Dude, spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry about that.
That season was 1993, man.
Did I spoil the showdown and NYPD Blue? God forgive me. God forgive me.
Hit him up on Twitter. Let him know at Christian Harloff. Yeah. Voice your discontent.
Truth. So we're gonna have some fun counting this down because Matt and I struggled to get to 10, but we got there because he's got some.
I wrote
stinkers.
Down 11. He's you got did? A lot of stinkers.
All right, fair.
I wrote
enough.
Down 11.
All right. Yeah. I got to 12 for reasons. Certain one didn't make it on the list that maybe some people think might. So. Anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Already hinting at that. That didn't make...
I know.
I was like, well, it's not going to be the last one. It's going to be the one before that. That's the one he's going to put in. Tucci with a weird Asian fetish because the movie had to cut to China real quick. Fucking no.
I couldn't do it. I'm not shameless about our show. I'm respectful of our show.
Man, I thought that was going to be,
four
through six, somewhere in there. Somewhere in there. That was my guess.
That's fair. That's fair. I respect it. Anyway, all right. Matt, do you want to tell them how the show works?
Yes. Once we set a topic, we went our individual ways and created personal top 10 lists. Show back up here. I do my bottom three. He does his bottom three. I do my next two. He does his next two. Then we trade one apiece. Once we have revealed our personal top 10 list, we create the shows between the two of us.
Boom. All right. Who starts us off?
I will jump right in. You want to start for the first time ever?
Why not?
Go ahead.
Let's do it. All right. My number 10 is The Terminal.
That's my number 9.
Oh, great. I defend this movie all the time.
It's good. It's a little too schmaltzy.
It can be, but that's Spielberg, for fuck's sake.
But you would hope...
E.T. schmaltzy as fuck.
You would hope with a story that's based on truth, this mm-hmm. happened to a guy that just got stuck in this weird nexus
yeah.
of political, you know, jurisdictional, whatever the case is, and he lived in an airport. You're like, okay, and I don't know, just... At times, it's a little too cheese.
And I totally get that. I think for me, there's a special place in my heart because I'm the son of immigrants, and like I connect to his journey, and then the conversations he has with Diego Luna and with the Indian guy. I'm not gonna lie to you. I cry every fucking time that the Indian guy walks out there with the broom to stop the plane. I know it's a cheesy moment. I know it's totally cheesy.
That one didn't bother me,
but it affects me emotionally every time because it's him showing affection for this guy, and he's willing to subject himself to this incredibly insane feat to show affection for this guy. It's such a grand gesture.
The cheesiness to me was more so the buildup of how he befriended the entire staff except for Tucci.
Right.
They all went, hey, that's Tom Hanks. Hey, Tom mm-hmm. Hanks. And everybody just automatically loved him because he was Tom Hanks.
Well, he's a gregarious personality.
He did. He had a big personality. That, to me, was just like, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just never bought into the full magic of it. I still like it. It's a Spielbergian craftsmanship. You know, it's a well-shot, lit cinematography, edited. It's got the right pacing. It just didn't resonate for me.
I like the Zeta Jones romance too. I know it's a doomed romance, which I really appreciate because another Spielberg movie would have had them come together. So I like that it isn't. And I dig the jazz thing aspect of it all.
Okay.
And what he's trying to do, which is accomplish his father's last wish. And he's like, oh man. So there's a little more to this than you think. And I enjoy Tucci. Tucci's a great a-hole in this.
He has to be.
Frustrated New York a-hole. And he's perfect for this.
He is. That's the thing about Tucci. I don't know if he'll ever get the Goldman-like shots.
Yeah.
But he's always quality, even if the movie sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, well, Tucci came in and gave you everything that part, you know, specifically needed.
I feel like there's an Oscar waiting for him somewhere. And I don't know if it'll happen, but certainly of everybody who is Oscar-less right now, who's a character actor, he is in the top bracket of people who should have a role written for him so that he can get that Oscar.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that he hasn't.
Yeah, right? Because he's super fucking talented.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah. Now, the thing is, we've seen him in specific type of roles at this point.
Sure.
So it'd have to be, I guess, something akin to that.
That's what I mean.
But he doesn't always play, you know, the villain or the heavy.
Well, look at Alan Arkin, Little Miss Sunshine. There's nothing Arkin did in that movie that he hadn't done in 35 other fucking movies.
Yeah.
Not one goddamn thing.
But he's good being Alan Arkin.
Yes, he's great at being Alan Arkin. I think Tucci can get into that conversation if he keeps going. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, my number 9 then is Margin Call.
That's my number 8.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I loved this movie.
His part is so small.
It is, but, you know, he's in the movie. And that's why it's lower on my list because he's not the lead
in
the movie.
Without him, the movie does not happen, literally.
Exactly.
It happens completely different. They get blindsided.
Yeah. This is a great film about the 2008 financial crisis and how this firm like rode this thing and then lied to themselves.
Didn't even write it out. Yeah. They started the tidal wave.
Exactly. And then like kind of everything that happened as a result and all the, like, cause I know people like that. What's that other one? Boiler Room or whatever. Boiler Room's mobsters. Boiler Room is like mobsters. Well, that
Boiler
Patrick
Room
Dempsey
is
movie.
Based off of the stories about Wolf of Wall Street.
Right. The Jordan Belfort guy. Yeah.
So, but this, I think this was the dramatization of, son of a gun, the Adam McKay.
Oh, Big Short.
Big Short. Thank you. I kept going Great Short. And I'm like, it's not Great Short.
Martin Short.
So it's one night of, as opposed to they drop the word tranches, but I now know what a tranche is because of the Big Short. And why that's such a bad thing, and the fact that they all basically have been lying to themselves and to everybody else that this was a good idea.
Yeah.
And those things are back, by the way. They've been back for a while.
Of course.
After the regulations that were put in place, then deregulation started, and we'll eventually get back to the same precarious point, just in a different fashion.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
You elect a dummy, you get dummy results. I enjoyed...
Good cast.
Yeah, great cast, right? Yeah. Good back and forth, good...
You had young Zach Quinto, the dude from Gossip Girl.
Yep.
Kevin Spacey, Jeremy Irons, Demi Moore, and... what's his name? Jennifer Connelly's husband.
Oh, Paul Bettany.
Bettany.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's an expansive film, and I like that. And I enjoy the moments, the quiet moments to have when shit's falling apart. Like the back and forth of that. It's really great. And so I enjoy the film for that. All right. So my number 8 then is Easy A.
Hey, it's my number 7.
Perfect. Look at us moving on down the line.
Yeah, right down the line.
Why don't you take this?
Easy peasy. It's almost the perfect dad on some level.
Yeah.
As our understanding of what maybe a parent should be, at least as two guys that have never had kids.
Sure.
So I know what I'm talking about.
Of course.
But it just understanding gives her the right amount of space, knows that she's intellectually strong enough to handle the world, and it's okay, and allows her to spread her wings. It's very supportive. You know, I don't think any father could really be like that on some level if your daughter's 16, but...
Well, it's like that father and the J.E. Freeman father in Juno. You're like, man, you guys are really incredible dads. I don't know any of you like that.
I know people who are
like
incredible dads.
Yeah.
But not someone that has the perfect answer and keeps their cool composure.
All the time.
No matter what situation arises.
Right.
Especially in the story about, you know, it's the Scarlet Letter.
Yeah.
So in the face of that, instead of the puritanical revolt of the high school and its surrounding populace, you stood, you know, calm and collected. It's pretty impressive.
It's a good movie, too.
It is.
Lisa Kudrow is very funny in the movie, and so is obviously Emma Stone. But also the lesson it teaches, right? I mean, because it's the Scarlet Letter for a certain aspect of it all, but it's also like kind of transplanted into this high school. So it's like, well, what are the comments that they're making about the culture of high school and about growing up in that culture, what it means of judgment and, I don't know, putting yourself up for ridicule, those kinds of things, you know, willingly walking into the ridicule so that in some way you think you're going to be able to control it. But in truth, you actually can't. So you have to just learn to live with it and roll past it.
I mean, I remember the first time I saw a cousin of mine who had grown up her entire life having Facebook. And I was like, I cannot. She was in high school. I was like, I cannot imagine what it's like. And this was years ago.
Yeah.
So now with everything else.
Oh, God, yeah.
Just the constant scrutiny and gossiping, whatnot.
Right,
and,
right.
Dear God, the interconnectivity of that type of, that's toxic as shit.
Of course it is.
But this was the movie where I'm like, man, this girl is a star.
Yeah.
She just has such a calm, cool confidence. And it comes from being around other good actors like Tucci that allow her the room to do what she needs to do. It's just quality film overall.
Totally agree. What's your number 10?
10 is Hunger Games.
Okay. Knock yourself out.
I put it at 10.
Not my thing.
Just because he is such a like a vivid image for me of what when I think of that film, I think of her and then him.
Yep.
Those are my 1-2. And then the anonymous kids that get slaughtered around her.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, yeah, there was the little girl that was running around with her for a little while, and her name was like a Willow or... Or maybe it was Sparrow. Or no, she was Sparrow.
Yeah.
It was something akin to that. But
okay. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either. And just like the generic jock that ends up being one of the final ones.
Right. Josh Hutcherson.
Hutcherson was her fake.
Oh, it was it was Hemsworth, wasn't it? It was one of the Hemsworths.
That was her real boyfriend on the outside.
Okay.
Hutchinson was her fake boyfriend because they had to play for the cameras.
Right, right.
And then there was some just blonde-haired, like, towel-headed jock douche wasp, I believe.
Okay.
It's been a while. I've seen the movie, probably two times.
The first one, right?
Yeah, the first
one. Okay,
and the second one I saw the once. If I've seen it again, I don't remember it.
Right.
Because it just seemed like more of the same. So, but... You know, him to me is creating this larger than life. You've got to be like Graham Norton mixed with fucking Rip Torn and 10 other people. This huge master of ceremonies for it's Eurovision meets the fucking Battle Royale. So him to me is what helped cement it with along with her. But he is the second thing that I think of when I think of that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
All right. So what's your...
Seven?
Yeah.
Lucky number 11.
That was the cut. That was my 11.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love this movie, man. This is a
love?
Fun...
Love? Really?
Oh, yeah. This is a fun movie. I put this in the payback pile. Like one of those films you just... Whenever it comes on, I'm going to watch it for like half an hour. Fuck it.
Okay.
I like the back and forth with Josh Hartnett and Ben Kingsley and Morgan Freeman. And I enjoy Tucci's part in it, the frustration he feels throughout the whole movie about the situation.
Okay.
I enjoy the Lucy Liu stuff. I really enjoy the Bruce Willis stuff as well and how it all comes together. I think it's actually an inventive little film that is fun to watch. And the actors themselves look like they're having fun in the movie as well.
Perhaps I need to re-see it.
Well, I'm just saying, this is my opinion, man. Maybe it didn't work for you.
I don't know. It just it seemed like I enjoyed it, but I was like, this just seems so derivative.
Okay.
But at the same time, that's a really lazy critique.
Well, only if you don't know what it's derivative of.
Okay.
Because if it feels like it's derivative, then it's got to be, that means you're thinking of another movie.
It feels like a basically not Tarantino, but Guy Ritchie meets...
I could see that.
You know, it has like a Smoke and Aces to Me type
like
of vibe.
Like Go or something like that?
Yeah, but it's not quite... Smoke and Aces to Me is closer in that it's still the big kind of more action-y type of aspect
right,
of it.
Right, right.
But Rock and Roll is in that same path. Yeah, even though that is a Guy Ritchie, it's like that it's is. Very similar to me on some level.
I like Rock and Roll too.
Yeah. But this one is meets like what I'm sure Hotel Artemis wanted to be type of... It's creating an underworld with interesting characters.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
I dug it for that, and I like that Hartnett. I think this was the one of those films that's like, okay, there's more here than just...
Yeah, he's a good actor.
The
Pearl Harbor. Well, I'm just saying, there's more here than just...
Yeah.
Looking good under soft, you know, a soft light.
Yeah, good point. Like Penny Dreadful, he's incredible in Penny Dreadful.
I got bored with that show.
Yeah? Really? Okay.
Through season one.
Okay.
And then I was like, it was kind of one of those of, I get it. This isn't really something I normally delve into unless it's really good or it hooks me. Like Sleepy Hollow, I can kind of watch.
That's a fun film. That's a fun film.
For some reason, it's just Ichabod Crane. I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah. Headless Horseman is always an interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
And that vibe works for me in that world. And this is like basically goth League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Kind
of,
yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. It's really like, Extraordinary Gentlemen was okay.
The film is not good.
I didn't read.
The book is incredible. Yeah. The graphic novel is great. It's so good. Alan Moore.
But.
Yeah,
he's retiring, is he not?
Probably. I don't know. He's at that age where he should. So that's number seven. My number six is Road to Perdition.
That is my number six.
Okay.
Perfect timing.
You want to take this one?
His role is smaller.
Sure.
That's why I bumped it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's an excellent film. We both enjoy it thoroughly.
Yes.
It makes our top 10 Tom Hanks list.
Makes our top 10 lists a lot.
It does. It's solid. I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And other than, you know, Tucci's part is small.
Do you know what? If there was anybody out there who really wanted to do something incredible, go back through all our lists and count the top 10 most films.
Cited?
Yeah, most cited films, like by number. So number one would be the most cited film. Number two, the second most cited film in terms of number. That would be a Herculean task.
I would guess it's either action or superhero.
Yeah? Okay.
That would be my guess.
Okay.
Because those just come up more.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. I'm trying to think of the ones that always comes up for us, but certain perditions in the conversation.
Yeah, but if you start going like Dark Knight, that makes any time we do any kind of list.
True.
Or now take eventually some of the Avengers and some of the this and some of that.
Good point.
Or Incredibles because it crosses over a little bit.
Incredibles works. I'm sure that we mentioned that a number of times. One of the favorites.
But yeah, Road to Perdition, it's quality all the way around. We've talked about it.
Yeah.
I think roughly a bajillion times.
Roundabout.
It's in the running for making that top 10 list.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. As is like Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah. Reservoir Dogs as well.
Yeah. We've got some that both of us thoroughly enjoy a little too much, probably.
That's fair enough. So what's your number seven?
Seven we did was Easy A, we're up to your five.
Oh, five is Julie and Julia.
I haven't seen it.
Really?
Is that good?
It is. Matt, it is fucking good. Okay. And I'll tell you this because I did not want to see this movie. And I think I went to see it with one of my ex-girlfriends in the past. Went to see it at an Academy screening out on the lawn, projected on the building, the side of a building.
Okay.
I had the greatest time. Meryl Streep and Amy Adams are fantastic in the film. And Stanley Tucci is so good as Julia Child's husband. Look, she is the outrageous one, the outlandish one, the character in the relationship. So Tucci naturally has to underplay it. Supportive,
okay,
and offended at or hurt at times, but still willing to help her to get to where she wants to go. And then by the time they get to the older version of Julia Child, you know, he's more settled into the patterns of the relationship. So he becomes more of just a supportive husband who understands her and loves her for exactly who she is. It's a great role, and it's a color you rarely see on Tucci. So okay. I enjoyed seeing it for that.
Had we had more time, I would have watched it.
Yeah.
But put the show together, and I went through his IMDb.
Yeah.
And it was just like, there's a couple that I haven't seen.
Yeah.
So I don't know how big his part is or if the movie's good. I don't know if it makes your list. That's what I want to bring up.
Yeah.
There's one in particular. I was like, oh, yeah, I meant to see that. I wonder if that was any good.
It's a great film about food, too. It really is. And it's touching, and it's funny. It's surprisingly very funny.
Okay.
That's what I would say. All right, which...
My five?
Yeah.
We might be punting Captain America, First Avenger.
Yeah, punt.
Okay. I figured as much. What do you got it for?
Big Night.
That's my four.
Yeah. What a good film.
Him and Shalhoub just crushing it.
Oh, dude. Everything, like this was back in the, when you had those independent films that would come out and it was like, you got to see this thing.
This was written and directed by him and Campbell Scott, Tucci and Campbell Scott.
Yeah.
Campbell is a car salesman.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a nice, small film about immigrants coming to this country trying to make a dream.
It's a massive night for trying to impress with the food and everything like that.
Exactly, yeah. Turn the fortunes of the restaurant around, and we're going to do it with this big, huge kind of extravaganza.
Yeah.
And the nice build-up to that, and to see, you know, why certain things mean so much to one and to the other and how they complement each other.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's quality acting from two quality actors. Like Shalhoub is another one where I would happily go through and pick my favorite Shalhoub movies.
Oh yeah.
Even if it's tiny, it's just like I love like him in Men in Black.
Oh, he's great.
He could be my favorite part of that movie.
You can make that case, certainly. He's funny as hell.
He gets his head shot off. That is just the backtracking.
He's my favorite part of the Cars franchise. Fuck that Mater shit.
Oh.
I love him as Luigi,
I don't have a favorite part of the Cars.
Favorite character, I guess I should say.
I started thinking of Rick Ocasek, and I'm like, what car? What? There's something inspired by...
Well, I thought an animation guru like you would know what I'm referencing, the characters in Cars.
Perfect. It seems like the made-up title when you're watching, at least back in the day, History Channel.
Yeah.
And it's just like this, and it's like, oh, this is a live concert poster historian. And you're like, what? There's a job for that? You're fucking kidding me.
You can get a label for that?
Yeah, he is an animation guru.
You are an animation guru.
What does that mean?
It means you know a lot about animation.
Yeah, but there are so many people out there that actually know about animation.
All right, fair enough. I'm just saying you pulled our butts out of the fire many times in the showdown with your animation knowledge.
That's because nobody else really dips their toe into it, so that pool is pretty shallow.
I'm sure it's massive now. I think Isabella Rossellini's in this thing too.
Yeah, Minnie Driver.
Minnie Driver, right.
Mark Anthony.
Yes.
He's like a busboy that maybe says two words. I don't know why you have him in it.
Before he's a big deal.
Well, he was still, I mean.
It's 96.
Yeah, but within the Latino community.
Oh, sure.
He was already an X number of time Grammy winner for Latino or Salsa or something.
Right. Yeah. Liev Schreiber's in this.
Oh, yeah.
Allison Janney's in this,
yeah.
Ian Holm's in this. And it's not just like a simple, fun film. It's actually got some like shit to say about family stuff and the strife between brothers and trying to put this all together. It just was a fun film to watch, and I really enjoyed their interactions. It was kind of a time where they were thinking about Tucci as a lead. They were looking at Tucci as possibly being a lead in more films, so it's fantastic in that way.
I mean, maybe he just need to do with like a lot of smaller filmmakers do and just dedicate to working on your own projects.
Yeah, maybe.
If you're going to get, if people are going to give you that shot. But I'm sure this movie, like every other movie, was a mountain to make.
Yeah.
And he is better suited at character development and being an actor and whatnot. I have no idea, though. Because having co-wrote and co-directed it, they did a great job.
It really did.
It's a, you know, it's an entertaining film.
I agree thoroughly. All right, that was your 4-2?
Yep.
So then my number three is The Devil Wears Prada.
That is my number three. This is getting spooky, John. We've only been one off on the majority of these, and now we got two at the same spot.
It'll make it easier to compile the list. I know that much.
It will. It will.
This is a goddamn fun film. Like, legitimately fun film. And Hathaway, it might be my favorite Hathaway role. And Emily Blunt, what a way to get introduced. She's so great in it.
Yeah.
But Tucci steals every scene he's in.
He does.
He's so...
He's Tim Gunn.
Yeah, he really... And naturally, organically so. Mm-hmm. Not commenting on the portrayal that he's doing. Very much living in the skin of that character and acting as that character would, with shade delivered, with primo style, I would say.
You see this world, a little glimpse into a world that is unlike anything that we experience.
Sure, very much so.
Where the rules that dictate, you know, the hierarchy and what is and what isn't is kind of by taste and by,
yeah,
honestly, public perception and whatnot. And that affects you on some level. It's this weird, ridiculous high school now with millions of dollars type of environment. And he is the calm, you know, in the storm. Everything around, everybody else is out for their own self-interest and crazy and whatnot. And we never see that. I mean, he obviously is, if you got to that station in life. But we don't see that. We just see him kind of being supportive and an ear for her to bend when she has problems.
Yep.
And, you know, basically it's just the reason why I like Tim Gunn so much. You just need a supportive individual that you can tell is not full of shit.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. And he's not saying things to hurt you.
No.
He's saying things to try to make you aware of things.
Yeah, they're not empty things just to placate you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's real intent, and he pulls it off so warm. It's impressive when you watch him, because then he can easily pivot to, man, you are one of the biggest dicks.
Oh, sure.
Right back to, you see something like this and be like, you got a heart of gold, like easy A. And then just pivot back over to like, oh my God, I believe you could have done that. it's just a sign of you're an excellent actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope you get your Goldman-like shot.
Yeah.
Oldman, rather.
All right. My number two, then, is Captain America, the First Avenger, the punt from earlier.
Okay. Punt from earlier.
I love him in this movie. And you need him in this movie, to be honest with you, to make it work in that first half of the movie. He is a sympathetic character. He is very, he radiates, you know, as the German scientist. And you sense his warmth and his love of Steve Rogers. And that helps us kind of like enjoy even more about this character. Because we see him, you know, like, oh, I can do this all day. And we admire his heart, right?
Yeah.
But it's through his eyes, the doctor's eyes, that we see, and Tucci's eyes, that we see why this guy is worthy to be Captain America, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just the fight. It's something else besides the fight. It's this heart of his and his natural goodness that is an organic, instinctive thing within Steve Rogers. And he knows it. And that conversation they have the night before they do the serum is fantastic. When they're having the drink and he's like talking to him about it and opening up to him about the situation, it's like, oh man, this is awesome.
He's his father figure.
Yeah. Yeah. In essence.
It's his, you know, he's the Ben to Spider-Man.
Mm.
In that the distillation of all the life lessons that he needs to learn, he's getting from Tucci.
Yeah.
Within this movie. Yeah. He helps out. He gives a heart and a different side to that character and helps sell, like when he jumps on the grenade, like that's why you choose.
Right.
Because we can make any idiot super strong, but they need to have a head on their shoulders and the right constitution if we're going to give them this type of power.
Yeah.
And knew that you have to boil down the essence of what you're looking for a few key characteristics. And when you see something that simple, sometimes it screams of truth. You're like, yes, you want to, if you're going to hand over. Because that's my fault with the film. It's a good movie, but he turns into God.
Mm.
As soon as he gets the serum, he comes out and he takes on the first bunch of guys and like whatever, has the rips off a car door and is using that as a shield, and then he jumps in and swims right after the submarine torpedo boat.
Yeah.
And swims down on that and just like, dude, you took a serum and then suddenly you can do everything. There's no acclimation to the power.
Right.
Just your lights out from moment one. So if Tucci knew that, just like, you can't just give this to anybody.
Right. Right.
Otherwise you get Red Skulls.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, and he tells that story as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think you're the first one? I wish Hugo Weaving would have come back.
I
love that he was like, no, because I don't want to put on like a ridiculous mask. And be like, did you put on elf ears how many times? How is this a distinction? Red Skull, you looked dope. Elf? Like, I fear elves because they always kick ass.
Yeah.
But when he's like, oh, I don't want to wear the ridiculous, and be like, I'm sorry, bro.
That's a great point I never thought about.
Yeah, and I still buy you in all these characters.
Yeah.
You're Agent Smith. You put the glasses. You still wear the attributes of a fictionalized character. Why is putting on a red skull? Is it the amount of time in the makeup chair? Just tell me that. I'll believe that. But to be like pish posh and be like, fuck off, man. Fuck off.
Bitch, you weren't an elf ear.
Exactly.
You were elf ears last month. Nah, I just don't think the MCU thing is his bag.
Yeah, he just wasn't drawn to it. That's fine.
He sees these Middle Earth things as these incredibly important films,
big dramatic epics,
literature and history.
And maybe if they did it today, he would be more on board because he's seen the scope of the story they can tell.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah, maybe. But yeah.
Plus, he didn't have the clout he did before because Lord of the Rings and Matrix are kind of like a 1-2 combo.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Hugo Weaving was a big part of my life.
I wonder if he's going to come back for Matrix 4.
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. Do you have a new agent? Agent, what's his name again? Agent Smith?
Yeah, Smith.
Yeah, Agent Smith.
They're just the innocuous.
Yeah. Mr. Anderson. Because I can't imagine we're coming back to Keanu and Keanu's going to be the hero of the story again. I can't imagine it's going to be him. I think they're going to train a new person.
Yeah, but how do you go? Well, he martyred himself.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, I don't know how you bring, unless he's digitized and he exists within the Matrix itself to like teach through there because he lives on through the code.
That's what I mean. Like, he becomes the new Morpheus and trains the
new. Yeah, but Morpheus was a real person. He could exist in code only, perhaps, within the Matrix.
Maybe. Maybe possible.
I don't know. Anything's technically possible. Just make a good movie.
True. After these, after those last two.
Yeah. I mean, you did it with the Animatrix.
Yeah.
After seeing that, and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm totally fine with the next two. And then after the next two, it's like, I don't want you guys to do it again.
Yeah, please stop. You're hurting me.
Well, it's just bloated, and bloated leads to disappointment.
Yes. Thoroughly agree.
Yeah. Nobody likes that, you know? Nobody likes to fucking not be able to you're sitting on the toilet, nothing happens, and you're like, this isn't fun. I need to be doing something right now.
Yeah. This hurts. All right, so then my number one, or have we done a number two? What's your number two?
My number two is Spotlight.
Yeah, it's my number one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew my number one was going to, you weren't going to have it.
Wow.
I knew it.
All right. Great film. Journalism movies are not always easy. People get bored or lost, but this one is exceptional. Mm-hmm. And the way it tracks the story through these different reporters and through these different times in the story occurring and with all these incredible characters within the story is great. And mm-hmm. Tucci is fantastic in the role that he's playing in this film as well.
He's the lawyer of the victims.
Yeah. Carries the weight of it all.
And keeps the reporters kind of nudged in the right direction.
Right.
Like, hey, you should be looking over here. I mean, it's a brutal story. When of the main actors, the only individual whose name I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's at his house and he realizes the address is like a block and a half away and he runs to the front of it.
Yeah.
Just the terror of that, of like, my kids play 60 yards from this. Like, a fucking monster lives here. That's where it really hits home. There are a couple of specific scenes that are a little melodramatic to me. But overall, the movie's, you know, really good.
Yeah.
And it's a story that needs to be told.
Yeah. And sadly, still keeps being uncovered. And recent one with that cardinal in Philadelphia, like there's so, and they all keep claiming like, oh, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. If these are men of God and they're lying about it, and they're saying not guilty because of the courts, Seriously, go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself to hell. Like, that's terrible to, like, sexually assault kids when you're a priest. That's like, or whatever you are of man of cloth. That's abusing something really deep, man. So I like that the film didn't pull any punches in showing that and the severity of that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It doesn't really come up all that often on the show. This would not make that top 10 list. Spotlight does not.
No, fair enough. Okay.
All right, so my number one, you ready for this?
Here we go, here we go.
My number one is a complete and utter cheat.
Oh, no.
Conspiracy, the HBO film.
Oh, of course. You
boom!
It doesn't count, but all right.
It's listed as a movie.
It is.
On IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, I think Wikipedia. And I was like, you know what? Because I looked for box office, like, because it's a, I found out through this, it's a co-BBC production, which makes all the sense in the world because it's populated by tons of British actors. And a lot of them, like, you got Kenneth Branagh and Stanley Tucci, but you also have Colin Firth. And then after that, it's one guy that went on to Downton Abbey, one guy that went on to Game of Thrones. He was the douche that Jon Snow had to deal with up at the wall.
Oh, yeah,
takes over for.
Mm-hmm.
He's there. It's like one after another, like, oh, yeah, that dude. I haven't seen that dude. Jack Sparrow's lieutenant, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
The thickier, stockier kind of type of dude. He's one of them. heavyset guy is one of those, that guy, British actors for years now.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over. In essence, you want to talk about another terrible thing. So this is a filmed adaptation from notes saved that were found.
Yeah.
By American forces, and I think 1947, about the meeting where high government officials and some from the military met to concoct how they were going to kill as many Jewish people as they could as quickly as they could, and just a frank discussion of the political aspects, the legal aspects, and then just the raw numbers of how do we do this?
Yeah, yeah.
And what's the most effective way? Like, one guy says, oh, just, I'll line them. I'll go down there tomorrow. I'll line them all up and shoot them.
Yeah.
Kenneth Branagh is like, it doesn't make any sense from the amount of time, the man hours, the bullets, and he just goes right down the line. Yeah. Whatever. Gas is cheaper. And you'll see that. And you're like, oh, my God. And it's just, the nice thing is, for this movie, it's just guys sitting around a table.
Yeah.
And it captures your attention the entire time.
Yeah.
The build up to them showing up and then just having one of the most vulgar discussions that humanity has ever had. And then they all just leave.
Yeah.
And it has a nice code at the end describing what happens to each one, you know, later on down the line.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Tucci gets hung by, basically it was a Munich. So Israeli intelligence found him in Argentina, I believe, and brought him back in a year. Within a year, he was hung.
Wow.
Like, oh,
Jesus.
Mossad don't fuck around.
Nope, nope.
A couple of guys were let off for insufficient evidence, like after the war. Others were hung on the spot.
Wow.
And some did time.
Yeah.
I mean, for this, amongst other things, but they didn't find out about this until they were all supposed to burn their notes, and only one guy kept on kept them.
It's always one guy.
It's always one.
It's always one just kind of like, I might need this. I'm not getting rid of this just yet. I might need these.
How is that leverage, though? How would you ever need it?
I don't know.
It only damns you. Yeah. You have to win this war. Otherwise, I mean,
yeah,
you are a war criminal. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts.
Do you watch Peaky Blinders?
Yeah. I've seen every season.
So they dropped the first episode of season 5 last night in the UK.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I found it.
Like, okay, don't tell me anything about
I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to say one thing. There's always one guy. That's all I'm going to say.
Still, the last season was so... Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, zip. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Season 1 to me was amazing.
Oh, yeah, season 1
And then
great.
Every season, after, I like the Tom Hardy.
The Tom Hardy's great
edition,
character.
But I wanted more with him.
Yeah, sure.
Although it's a family-based drama, but it's just like, no, because now you got Killian and you got Tom.
Yeah, you got Finn.
And you the sister
Ada.
I like.
Yeah.
The older sister. And
Polly.
The older brother.
Yep.
And everybody else is just like, you should kill them off. You should kill them off. You should definitely kill them off. These are like the only characters I really like in this mix.
Yeah. I'm happy it's back, though. The second episode drops as we're recording this tonight, and I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to watch it tonight, so I'll have to figure it out.
Well, hopefully you can manage to get a screener copy or some jazz before you got to hop on a flight to Down Under.
Dan Ender. All right, well, that's our separate list of the Stanley Tucci films. Let's put this thing together and then do our shout-outs, Matt.
Yeah, we had our Patreon shout-outs, as we mentioned on the re-list you guys heard a couple days ago. We forgot that.
Sorry, guys.
We apologize, and thankfully you remembered before, and you're like, should we be doing shout-outs?
Yeah, I kind of said that. Like,
oh, yeah, shit. We would have been two weeks late on that. So thank God for that. Yeah, so let's do this. So I would say Spotlight is easily number one.
Yep, I would agree.
This is going to be probably the easiest list of all time.
Maybe.
Devil Wears Prada next? What do you have?
I have Captain America, First Avenger 2.
You got Prada 3, right?
3, yes.
So I would say 2 threes beats a 2 5.
2 3. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, you have Avenger 5. Okay, yep. Okay. So then Big Night would probably go next, right?
Well, that's 2 4s. Now, does 2... I think a 2 5 beats 2 4s.
2 5 beats 2 4?
Yeah, because you have... Captain America 2, I've got it at a 5. So a 2-5 beats 2-4s.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I thought you meant 2-4. Then I get it. I get it. Plural. Got it. I got it.
All right. Can I sneak in conspiracy here, number 5?
At 5? Yeah, all right. I'm not happy about it, but all right.
Then I think we have everything the same.
Possibly.
Right along down the line. So your next highest is what? Road to Perdition?
Number 4, Big Night. Do you want to put Big Night on there?
Yep.
Okay. My next one is Julie and Juliet, number 5.
Okay. Well, we have Road to Perdition, Easy A, Margin Call, Terminal together. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we have 5 spots.
Okay.
So I would say, where do you have Perdition?
6.
So we both have that at 6. I think that beats your 5.
Okay.
Well, it's 2 at one position versus a standalone. Julie is going to make it.
Oh, okay.
We just got to figure out where.
Sounds good.
We both then have Easy A at what, 7?
I have it at 8.
Okay, and I got Margin Call at 8. What do you have that, 9?
9, yeah.
All right, you want to do Easy A, Julie, Julia?
Yeah, that works. That works for me. Julia and Julia?
Yeah, sorry.
Ooh, I'm cooking the food. Remember Dak and Aykroyd doing that? Invitation. Anyway, yeah.
Margin Call in the Terminal.
Yep, sounds good. That's it.
That is it.
Damn.
That all was right. The easiest. We just kept doing that.
That's true. All the way up the list. All right, let's count this fricker down. The top 10 Stanley Tucci films, yeah. Ad number 10.
The Terminal.
Ad number 9.
Margin Call.
Ad number 8.
Julia and Julia.
At number 7.
Easy A.
At number 6.
Road to Perdition.
At number 5.
Conspiracy.
At number 4.
Big Night.
At number 3.
Captain America, the First Avenger.
At number 2.
The Devil Wears Prada.
And our number 1 Stanley Tucci film is...
Spotlight.
Turn on your spotlights.
Perfect. I love it when Neil Diamond can make an appearance.
Let it shine wherever you go.
Beautiful.
Let it make a happy glow for all the world to see.
A song that was unofficially part of E.T.
Yeah, I don't know how he got away with that.
He was inspired by a song, and he's like, I'm going to write a song about it. And you're like, okay, I mean, I guess you could do that.
I'm inspired by a song. I'm going to write about it. I hope you like it. Turn on your hot light. All right, so let's do these shout-outs, man. Let's give some people some love.
Darn tootin'. Let me just pull that up over here on our email. Thanks to you, Mr. Chris Alexakos, for helping us out with all this.
Thank you, Christos Alexakos.
And in large, tiny font.
Are you still with your girl, Christos? Let us know. It was great meeting her in Chicago. All right. Are you ready?
I am ready. This is something we do for our patrons at the $5 and up level every month. We give them a shout out. If you support the show, this is our way of saying thank you very much.
Hell yeah.
And we shout your name out each and every month. You would like to start us?
Yeah, let's do it. Matthew Hassel.
Christopher Brockman.
Andrew Hayes.
Andrew Nally.
Corey O'Connor.
David Mitchell Baker.
Drew Enns.
Jonathan Caro.
Mackenzie Horner.
Mike Barrington.
Steven Anderson.
Steven Boyd.
Wiley Todd.
Willie Logie.
Christos Alexakos.
Eric Rebner.
Andrew Marger.
Andy Tan.
Angela Dashner.
Anthony Castelnova.
Ashley Prowls.
Ben Cartwright.
Bernie Knapp.
Billy Guillams.
Yeah, Bobby Carney.
Chris Lemke.
Clay Williams.
Daniel Chaput.
Ed Buskirk.
Ellis Menchaca.
Oh, Eric Escott.
Frank Montoya.
Jeff Kelly.
George Menchaca.
James Leggett.
Jeremy Metz.
What's up, Jeremy? Joe Farrelly.
Joseph Burtwistle.
Josh Stets.
Josh Mabry.
Johanna Linavirta.
Keith Bellow.
Keith Fitzgerald.
Kevin Fuss.
Kevin Hills.
Kristen Kurtz.
Lawrence Witt.
Louis Berrigan.
Mark Fawcett.
And finally, the third of the worst Menchacas. Mark Menchaca.
There you go. Mitchell Brehill.
Niall Blackie.
Paul Cree.
Rice Seaborn.
Robert Haley.
Bubbo. Ryan Nim.
Steve Schluckabier.
Sue Giant Fernando.
The Blast from Our Past podcast.
DJ Starman.
Tyler Spots.
Zach Butts.
Adelardo Fuente.
Alex Ramsey.
Alex Russell.
Aaliyah Moore.
Ahmed Ali.
Andres Mendoza.
Anthony George.
April Rybacki.
Aza Denning.
Ben Quirk.
Ben Archambault.
Blake Gaunt.
Blake Jensen.
Blake O'Brien.
Bobby Michael.
Brian Akins.
Cameron Belgrade.
Cameron Chapman.
Chris Cabrera.
Chris Consiglio.
Chris Judge.
Christopher McIntyre.
Cody Seal.
Corey Trainer.
Cody Markham.
Dale Varley.
Dan Culbertson.
Dan Nye.
Dan Petraglia.
Daniel McCarty.
Daniel Kelly.
Darren Bush.
Deborah Torres.
Derek Guillotang.
Drew Burkhart.
Dwayne Joseph Burke.
Dylan Buhler Dempsey.
Dylan Johnson.
Dylan Yoon.
Edward Dobbins.
Eric Stevenson.
Gareth Weldon.
Garrett Bates.
Gunner.
Yep. Hans Eskelson.
Haley Morton.
Ian Brick Beltran Lopez.
James Appleby.
Janvia Canizar.
Jason Liao.
Jeff Knutson.
Jeff Saliba.
Jeremy Bowers.
I was just going to say JIC317.
Yeah. Jim White.
Joe Ibarra.
Joe McPhee.
Joey Anthony.
John Douse.
John Keefe.
Jonathan Chase.
Jordan Malloy.
Joseph Viola.
Josh Pellerin.
Josh Sachs.
Justin McDonald.
Justin David O'Neill.
Oh, you got a David in there. Yeah. Keith Archer.
Kevin Shaw.
Kristen Smith.
Hey. Christia Veselchik.
Kyle Beckworth.
Kyle Feller.
Louis Carrizales.
Mallory Garrett.
Marcel Behrman.
Marcus Davenport.
Matt Hannigan.
Matthew Pullen.
Maurice Robinson.
MF Doom.
Michael McDade.
Michael Schmer.
Nathan Leonard.
Nick Francis.
Nicholas Smith.
Nizar Alabasi.
Noel Kelleher.
Pat Bulfamenti.
Patrick Mullen.
Peter Bellin.
Peter Ross.
Phil Morissette.
Phil Neglia.
Philip Renshaw.
Rachel Silvestrini.
I'll see you in the ring, Rachel. Ravi Prasad.
Reagan Lovig.
Rob Harris.
Roque Arellana.
Ruben Enriquez.
Ryan M. Brandos.
Scott Jarnecki.
I think it's Zarnecki.
Zarnecki, sorry, yes.
Shane Noble.
Simon Brouillard.
Skyler Alessi.
Spencer Freightway.
Tim Begg.
Tim Franco.
Timothy Berg.
Wayne Murphy.
Zairian Gigglesun.
AJ Barrera.
That's a great name.
Oh. There it is.
Ooh. You said AJ?
Yes.
I got Aaron Carroll.
Abby Lugo.
Alan Bennett.
Alec Musial.
Alexander Mazdonia.
Hey, Alex. Andrew Herbs.
Andrew O'Day.
Andy Ortiz.
Archie Bear.
AZ Badfish.
Blair Simpson.
Brandon Caridi.
Brian Cruz.
Charlie McKenna.
Chelsea Lewis.
Chris Jones.
Dimitri Milote.
DJ Red Hot Cax.
Red Hot Cax. Evan Bistrom.
Evan Zoller.
Giancarlo Simonetta.
Gracia Romero.
Houston Bodily.
Ian Horner.
Isaiah Hoffman.
Jacob Pullen.
James Petty.
James Trapani.
James Winstead.
Jeff Peters.
Jen Kemp.
Jim Payne.
Joe H.Y.
Johannes Schmidt.
John Holloway.
Jordan Wiltshire.
Josh Lawrence.
Josh Murphy.
Joshua William.
Joshua Wynn.
Juan Reyes.
Julian Key.
Catherine Samuels.
Ken Reels.
Kyle Spahn.
Laura Deverson.
Luke Allison.
Luke Larson.
Magali Dore.
Matt Chipping.
Matt Yund.
Matthew Kearns.
Matthew Lee Cravens.
Mike Shea.
What up, Mike? Nathan Williams.
Nick Dornoff.
Patrick Campbell.
PJ, sending a lot of love to you, brother man. Philip Lane.
Dude, suck it out in Zona, bro. Is that Philip Lane?
Yes.
Rob McDonald.
Rodrigo Valverde III.
Ryan McKenna.
Scott Lynch.
Scott Collar.
Seamus Braytag.
Sean Scott.
Seth Shearer.
Stacy Flores.
Stephen Armstrong.
I refuse to say his name, the Cinephiles.
Thomas Price.
Thomas Streeton.
Thorsten Amvoller.
Timothy R. Williams.
And Will Morris.
Thank you to everyone. Yes. But Steve. Suck it, Steve. Suck it. That's an extra $5, buddy. You want to get that last name on the show.
That's a fair point. It's a fair point. Got to pay to play. Like I said, big shout out to PJ, who's going through some things there in Arizona. I want to give you some love from the top 10 guys. Hope you, you're kind of taking it day by day, brother, bouncing back a little bit as best you can. But,
I hadn't heard. I knew he just moved. I didn't know what it was for. I had just assumed he was like, you know what? I need a change.
Yep.
I'm going to.
His dad bought him a house.
Yeah.
I'd leave too if my dad bought me a house in Arizona. I'd take the fuck off.
Knowing PJ, it's nice too.
Though, it is nice. Of course it is. He's taking pictures showing all the, like, that's a nice looking house, what he's got in Arizona.
I'm sure he's got a theater, something or other set up already, or a geek room or something.
Well, Ryan Snelling apparently is moving in with him there in Arizona. So it's a weird world with these guys. Schmodown brings people together in some weird, strange ways.
Why is that weird? It's a camaraderie.
Ryan's in Kansas City, I think, or one of those places, and now he's moving to Arizona to try his luck in Arizona.
Given the choice, if you had to live in KC or Arizona, what would you choose?
I can't. I've never lived in either, so I wouldn't know which one.
I've driven through KC. I've been to Arizona a bunch of times.
Okay.
I could see myself much, much quicker living in Arizona than I could Kansas City.
I think we should do a live show in Arizona. We got a strong base of people who like us in Arizona. Tim Franco, PJ now there, Ryan there, Vanessa. There's a number of people. Franco down there.
Should do it in one of the
Aaliyah
true desert communities.
Yeah,
we get like the weirdos. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. We should do it in an outdoor amphitheater at night.
Perfect. Actually, screw that. Let's just go to Denver and do Red Rocks. If we're gonna do an outdoor amphitheater, and then after that, we'll do the Gorge up in the Pacific Northwest.
Done and done. How much is Red Rocks? It must be expensive for a night.
Oh, to rent it out?
Oh, it must be $10,000 or something.
$10,000, dude. You need to bump that number way up.
Oh, really?
Fuck yeah.
Like $100,000.
I bet you even more than that.
Wow. Wow.
Well, it also depends what time of year and what day of the week.
I need to look this.
But if you wanted a Saturday, like, that's the thing. I don't even know if that information could be found on a simple Google search.
It's so big.
Well, it's, you know, they've got to have levels upon levels. What is it?
Upwards of $100,000, including fees for equipment, security, vendors, and the venue itself.
I bet you on certain Fridays and Saturdays during the summer, it's higher than that.
Probably. Wow. Wow. So
it's a small venue. That's why there is a limit to how much they can charge.
Right, right, right. It's the city of Denver owns it. It's one of 22 properties. The park is free.
You can go. Oh,
we'd have to mess with elevation, too. We're up in 6,000 feet of elevation. We pass out.
Have you never? My parents live in Colorado.
That's right.
So I have zero problem at elevation. I don't know what you're worried about.
Also, I'd be worried about trying to sell out. It's 9,500 seats.
And that's a small venue, too. What did you say? For an iconic outdoor venue, you can't really beat Red Rocks. It's pretty tough.
The rental fee alone for concerts and other ticket events is 11% of admission revenue, or $7,500, whichever is greater.
You mean 75,000?
No, 7,500. Nonprofits are charged 8% of their admission revenue with a minimum of $5,000. The fee for a private, non-ticketed event, such as a wedding, is $100,000 during concert season.
Yeah.
So.
Because they'll make more. Well, during concerts, there's no way they're just doing $7,500 a night.
The off-season rental fee for commercial and private entities is also $10,000.
$10,000. Okay. Well, we will build. Trust me. If we can do Red Rocks, I will never fight you on doing Red Rocks.
The top 10 at Red Rocks would be incredible.
It's like the only outdoor that works because it's a confined space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you need the energy kind of bouncing back at you for a podcast.
I'm just saying. Red Rocks. Top 10 Red Rocks. That means we made it.
Oh, yeah.
We can start doing London tours again, like tours of all of Europe.
Well, this is where, like, if anybody got to that kind of level podcasting, you're going to somehow winnow your way into like being remembered for who knows. Eventually, if you did enough huge rock venues like that and got known for it,
could you make a case for, hey, what if you built a separate wing of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Because here's somebody that existed in the same sphere, like Tenacious D.
Yeah, good point.
They're not really rock and roll, but they still travel the same circles, sold a lot of albums, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. I don't disagree with that.
I don't know. I doubt it.
Come on.
But
have some faith in us.
No, I have faith in us. I'm saying of us making our own wing of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's what I'm saying.
No, I don't think that would be possible.
Maybe. You never know.
That's a tough ask for anybody. I'll be honest with you. But I'd like to do, I think now I've got it in my head of doing Red Rocks. That's a terrible thing to put in my head.
It's a great thing if we can, hey, look, you believe in The Secret, right? So go home tonight and do The Secret. Do your vision board. Most people I know gave that shit up.
Right. That's brilliant, man. I love that. I visualize us at Red Rocks. I like it.
The dumbest, stupid, motivational.
Oh, yeah. A friend gave me that
speak
one
it into the world. It'll happen. Okay. You need to do a little more cocaine and then come to this realization.
All right.
That is it for the show this week.
On that note.
For old Stanny Tooch.
The big Tooch.
Thank you to all our patrons. Honestly, your support means the world to us.
Yeah, man.
And it's the reason we can do those live shows, and on some level, it's still going to this day.
True.
It's because of your support and all the help that we get to create these shows, from Christos Alexakos, I apologize.
Yeah.
To Matt Hasso, to Kristen Smith, and Joe Ibarra, and the newest on board, Mike Shea, taking over for Clay Williams. Yeah. Thank you, Clay. Good luck in school.
Yes.
And our thanks to everybody that supports us here on the show. If you're new to us, find us over at facebook.com/groups/the top 10 show. If you'd like a shout out, it's patreon.com/the top 10 with the number 10. And you can hit me up online at Matt Nost anywhere on any social media.
And you can find me at The Roka Says on Twitter and Instagram. And please don't forget about The Cinephiles. And please, Geek Buddies, give it some love. The Geek Buddies, that's another show I do here. It's a lot of fun, a little podcast. Completely different from Top 10, completely different from Cinephiles. So, you know.
Last week it was plugging,
plugging this, that,
and the other.
Oh!
This week, plugging this, that, and the other.
Deep Cut this week. Yeah, also. I'm constantly hustling, Matt.
I'm just saying.
And Ramona Shelburne, great interview there.
At what point do I start getting a little taste of this, you know?
When you don't do anything else outside of this.
Partially, doesn't matter.
I'm trying to live.
I get 50% of this airtime, and now you're kind of.
Feel free to plug whatever you'd like over the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's
saucy
it.
Saucy Broads, Pew Saucy Broads Pizza. Go there. That is Matt's wife's place. Go and get some food there.
It's a good distinction, though. It is.
Yeah.
It is my wife's place.
That's what I'm saying.
100%.
I just want to give it some love.
It is. That's how I describe it.
Yeah.
My wife owns a pizza shop.
That's right. It's perfect. All right, everybody. Take care of yourselves. We'll talk to you next time on the Top 10 Show.